Galatians 5, 13 through 16. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. Today was March 23rd, Richmond, Virginia, 1775. The Second Virginia Convention had convened on March the 20th inland at Richmond rather than the capital in Williamsburg to avoid the British governor and the Royal Marines. 3 days later, on March 23rd, 1775, Patrick Henry is quoted to have said at the end of his speech, trying to get the Second Virginia Convention to form a militia in every county of Virginia, these words, "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death." These immortal words were spoken by, of course, Patrick Henry some 237 years ago. And they reflect the heart of every true American. Throughout history, man has sought and striven to be free. He's always wanted to be free. And so we ask this morning, what is the price of freedom? For freedom, men have toppled empire. They have uprooted civilizations. They have changed the geography of the earth. They have migrated across the face of the globe, and they've given their lives. For freedom, men have lived in caves. They have trekked across vast expanses of wilderness. They have hewn out new nations in the darkest unexplored corners of the earth. For freedom, families have separated. Ties have been broken. The blood of thousands of men, women, and children has mingled together in the dust of the earth to run like a river coursing through the pages of history. What is this thing called freedom for which so many have striven so hard? Freedom, strictly defined, it is being free from any restraint that keeps one from deciding his own destiny. We can turn to the pages of the Bible and the book of Exodus to see one of the earliest examples of man's quest for freedom. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. I want you to notice with me verses 13 and 14. Exodus 1, verses 13 and 14. Verse 8, we read, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." And then in verse 13, we read, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor," or vigorously. "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service when they made them serve was with rigor," or vigor. Over in the next chapter, Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, we read, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." Friends, when we look here in the book of Exodus. We see Israel, God's people. The promised generations of Abraham, the promised people unto Jacob and Isaac. They're enslaved. And now they cry out to God seeking freedom. Friends, in the process of time, any people who are not free, who are not truly free, become tired of bondage. They become engrossed with the insatiable desire for freedom. The Israelites here turn to the right source. They turn to God. And God, through Moses, He freed the people. But friends, it wasn't without cost. It cost them something. In order to be freed from the Egyptians' bondage, to be freed from that slavery, and to enter the land of milk and honey, Canaan, they had to pay the price of obeying God's given instructions. As the bottom line is, freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. In Exodus chapter 9 and verse 1. Exodus 9 and verse 1. We read that the Lord said unto Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may," the operative word here is serve me. Their freedom was going to come at a cost. If they were going to be free from Egyptian bondage, they were going to have to serve God Almighty. They were, number one, to keep His commandments. They were to follow His leaders that He put in place. And number three, they were to drive the heathen out of the land. If you turn over to Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. Finally, Pharaoh has had enough. He begins to let the people go. We read there in verse 17 beginning, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, Peradventure, the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." The word there, harnessed, means they were ready, they were equipped for battle. Friends, God knows the best way for those who are free to remain free. If the people of Israel had gone up straightway into the land of the Philistines, they would have had to fight immediately. But they needed time to train. They needed time to figure out how they were supposed to do these things. And so God, in His wisdom, led them in a roundabout way. And friends, if they had failed to follow after God's commands, as they did time and again, we see that they were headed back into bondage. After all these people had done, they became faithless. After all they had seen, they fell in the wilderness because they failed to keep the commands of God. 12 spies went into the land and 10 came back with an evil report. And because of that, because they hearkened unto the word of the 10 rather than the word of the 2, they all died in the wilderness over a period of 40 years. It was up to their children then to remain free by serving the living God. And it was that generation, not the generation that first came up out of Egypt, but their children that were able to cross the Jordan, and they brought down the walls of Jericho by following the plan of God. They conquered the land that God had promised to their fathers by following God's will. But after that, you come to the book of Judges, also known as the book of failures. And in that book, seven times, the people left God and were enslaved by the nations round about them until they cried out to God for deliverance. They had to be freed again. Because when they left off from leaving God, or they left off from serving God, from following His word, they were given right back into bondage. A quest for freedom. But notice, friends, that each time they turned to the right source. They turn to God. The quote that we used at the beginning of our study, came from another quest for freedom, that of the colonial Americans over 200 years ago. We are getting ready to celebrate our Independence Day. Great day for each American. Our forefathers came into this country because of economic, social, and religious oppression. Motivated by the writings of John Locke and Jean-Jacques Rousseau, they set sail for freedom, but they still were not free from Europe. Thomas Paine's pamphlet, Common Sense, helped move the colonies toward freedom, and his later publication, The Crisis, contains these words: "Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this confirmation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price on its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." Friends, what Paine is saying there is that freedom is not free. There's going to be a cause to obtain it and maintain it. Friends, if you go and you read, we're not going to take the time this morning, but if you have the internet at home, in light of Independence Day coming up, I would encourage you to go and read the preamble of the Declaration of Independence and see the mindset of our forefathers and what they realized it was going to cost them to become free from tyranny. They recognized that freedom could come only if they paid the price. What does that have to do with us this morning? Friends, freedom is from God. God gave man from the beginning of time, when He made man, when He created the earth, He gave man freedom of choice. But friends, true freedom is found in service unto God. Our fathers, God, to Thee, author of liberty, to Thee we sing, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by Thy might, great God, our King. America, America, God shed His grace on Thee and crown Thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Great nation used to realize that our freedom came from God. Oh, that we would all get back to that and realize to whom we should turn. But friends, spiritual freedom may be the greatest struggle of all. Social and political freedom came by social and political struggle, not spiritual freedom. Before the foundation of the world, God designed a spiritual, so to speak, Declaration of Independence. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. This is our spiritual Declaration of Independence, found here and again alluded to in Luke 4, 17 through 21. We read here in the first three verses of chapter 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Let's turn over now to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Beginning in verse 17. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Friends, the bottom line is that freedom is not free. Jesus gave his life so that you and I may be free. Do we understand what it cost the God of heaven to purchase our freedom? Our freedom from bondage, our freedom from sin. Friends, it cost Jesus his life. He bled and died upon the cruel cross of Calvary. One of the, if not the most cruel, one of the cruelest ways for a man to die. He suffered that so that you and I would not have to. So that you and I would have the choice. Every man and woman has a choice. We can choose bondage or we can choose freedom. We can choose to follow the cross of our Lord. We can choose to follow His commands. Or we can choose the ways of Satan. We can choose to follow the ways of Satan, rather. God had a plan. Will we follow the plan? Perfect man had sinned. A perfect man had to die. He gave us that choice. He offers us what we refer to as the plan of salvation. If we will but hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It's something that we've grown up with. It's been incorporated into our lives. We know what the Bible says concerning his salvation. Would we follow that? But friends, it cost God something. But friends, it's going to cost us something too. Freedom is going to cost us greatly. It's going to cost us of our love. In John chapter 13, 34 and 45, through 35 rather, we read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Friends, love for God will cause us to become Christians. Love for our fellow man will cause us to treat him properly. Freedom cost God his Son. Freedom cost Jesus his life. Freedom will cost us our love. Do we love God enough to accept his offer of freedom from sin? Poem written about love says, "A bell is not a bell until someone rings it. A song is not a song until someone sings it. Love in the heart is not put there to stay. Love is not love until it's given away." What is the price of freedom? Friends, the price of freedom is love. Love will eliminate gossip. Love will eliminate hate. Love will eliminate jealousy and greed, and the list can go on and on and on. Do we love God enough to follow His plan? Do we love man enough, our fellow man enough, to treat him as we ought to treat. The cost of freedom. Cost Jesus' life. It's going to cost us our love. Six humans trapped by happenstance in bleak and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story is told. Their dying fire in need of logs, the first man held his back. For of the faces around the fire, he noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one knot of his church and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of his forlorn group did naught except for gain. Give only to those who gave was how he played the game. Their logs held tight in death's still hand was proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. What does freedom cost? Friends, if you would have freedom this morning, it's going to cost you your life. Not physically. But if you would gain eternal life, friends, your life must become a living sacrifice unto God. Would you give yourself this morning over to Him? Would you gain that freedom from sin? Because that's the cost of freedom. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, would you give yourself this morning unto God? Give your life wholly to Him. Put God in the driver's seat. Allow Him to be the pilot of your life, to be guided by His Word. Would you do that this morning? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That He died on that cross, that He paid the price for your freedom. Do you believe that? Are you willing then to repent of your sin? Turn away from it. Give your life unto Him. Confess Him before men and be baptized, immersed in water, because, friends, that's His plan to receive remission of sin. Would you pay the cost of your spiritual freedom this morning and be immersed in water so that He may add you to His church? Friend, are you here this morning having done that? Would you come home? Have you fallen away? Do you need to return? Would you be free again? Friends, Christ has already paid the price. Are you willing to accept it? God gave His only begotten Son so that you and I could be free from bondage. Would you be free this morning? Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?